We're starting a new series today, and I hope it's going to be powerful. It's called The Power of Christmas. I know we're not there yet, but I've got four weeks on this series, so by the time we get to the fourth week, we'll be there. All right, so we needed to start at some point. And so it's called The Power of Christmas, and this week we're looking at the fact that God is mighty in the middle of all of the craziness of this time of year. This is a quote from Jack Hayford. It says, "Christmas is more than merely merry. Christmas is mighty." So instead of wishing each other a Merry Christmas, we should maybe wish each other a mighty Christmas. Have a mighty Christmas. That would make a difference, wouldn't it? I want us to grasp the true meaning of Christmas and just how mighty it is. It's not just about toys and a fat man in a red suit. It's about God's plan for this world. You know, the government can have plans for our world, but God, thankfully, has a plan for our world as well. It's about a savior. It's about God himself coming down to the earth to demonstrate his love for us, to explode in power and might in our lives. You know, an explosion took place at the birth of Jesus. The skies filled with angels. People fell to the ground in astonishment because of the birth of the Savior of this world. It's about God showing himself as the Almighty God in the form of his Son. So I just want to go right back to the beginning. I'm going to look at John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was continually existing in the beginning with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him not one thing was made that has come into being." So I suppose what I want to establish here is just how powerful and mighty God and Jesus are. So this says, in the beginning was the Word and God. Two things. There was the Word, and the Word was with God. It also says that the Word was Christ. This is from the Amplified. It says the Word was Christ, and the Word was God himself. God himself. So God himself was in the form of his Word, and that Word was Jesus Christ. So when we see Jesus coming down and being born as a baby at Bethlehem, then being crucified, it's God himself that's crucified for us. It's God himself that's born for us, but in a body form that he called his Son. Whenever you're reading about the Word in the Bible, W-O-R-D, it comes with a capital letter. So why is it given a capital letter? Because it's a person. It's the person of the Christ. And the Word is referred to as he or him because it's a person. It's Christ himself. And he's just given this unusual name of the Word. Verse 2 said, he continually existed with God right from the very beginning. He was there. So this is Jesus in his pre-human state, before he had a human body, in the form of God's Word. He hadn't been born as a man yet, but he still existed in heaven, and he was called the Word. He existed with the Father in this different form. Then verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. So God used the Word, Jesus, to make all things. Creative power was in his Word. And that is powerful right there. Because the Word went out. When God sent the Word out, it created. It created the land. It created the animals. It created everything. And God spoke, and Jesus did it. And it says nothing was made unless God spoke the Word. Unless God sent the Word out, nothing was made. His Word was that powerful, and it is still that powerful today. It's still got the same power and might in it. So now I'm going to switch to the Old Testament and look at what it says about the beginning. So this is Genesis 1:1. Okay, so we've gone to almost the beginning of the New Testament and now we're at the beginning of the Old Testament. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. In other words, there was nothing in it. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, because his Word was there, let there be light, and there was light. So this is another description of the very beginning of time. God is there and the Word is there, because we're told that in John 1:1. And there's a third thing there. The third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, was present. So it says in verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all present. And the Spirit of God is the nature of God, the character, what he's like. He's loving, he's caring, but he's powerful and he's mighty. All of those things are in God, and all of them are in the power of his Holy Spirit. And when God releases his power, it moves like a mighty rushing wind. Acts 2:2 said the Holy Spirit came and filled the whole house like a mighty rushing wind. So we've got God, and then he speaks the Word, and the Holy Spirit does it. So all of that power and all of that might and a mighty God has been there from the very beginning. God is present in all of his forms, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, an almighty God, three in one, powerful being. And the Bible says his Spirit was hovering, just waiting on his command, waiting for God to release his power by his word. It says, then God said, let there be light. And light appeared after he spoke it out. So when God creates, he uses the word. So I want to bring this right relevant into our lives today. When we create, we use words too. You know, there's wars happening in the world right now. What created these wars? Words. Words created them. People falling out with other people's nations, falling out with nations. Words created them. People getting together in a huddle and getting so angry about their neighbors that they decide to go to war against them. Words are so powerful. So here's a question for us all to think about, not just today, but every day of our lives. What words are we using and what are they creating? Are they creating something good in our lives or something negative, something destructive? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. We all know that. We should know that scripture by now. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. So we must be very careful about what our tongue creates. So here's a revelation to go home with, and it's this. Your tongue is affecting your life because it is continually creating. Continually creating. Continually saying something positive or negative. We'll never have a powerful life if we speak negative words. It's just not possible. So we need to stop all the negative talk and start speaking out God's word, the word of God over our situation. Stop the grumbling and complaining and start praising God and confessing his word. So here's another revelation for us. We're all confessing something. But most of it isn't very powerful. Every single one in this room is confessing something over our lives. And some of it that we're speaking out, myself included, it is not very powerful. So think about this. What was the last thing you said about yourself, your life, and your future? What was the last thing you said? Do you really want God to do it? Do you really want that to come to pass? You know, are we really believing that there's nothing good on the horizon, or are we like the person that we heard about earlier that sees the sunrise coming up out of the dark horizon? We're all confessing something. So is what we're saying powerful and mighty, and do we really want God to do it? I just want to look again, or I'm just going to tell you about the first, the first four words in the Bible. The first four words in the Old Testament are in Genesis 1:1. We've just read them, and it's this. In the beginning, God. That's it. In the beginning, God. The word for God that's used here, the Hebrew word for God right here in this fourth word of the Bible is Jehovah Elohim. So this God that was present with his word and his Holy Spirit hovering over the darkness, over the nothing, at the beginning of creation, is Jehovah Elohim. And it means the God of power and might. That's who was there at the beginning. So if you're looking at your life right now and you're seeing darkness and you're seeing blackness and you're seeing nothing good and you're thinking this is just like before God even stepped on the planet and you're seeing nothing good, then in the middle of that darkness, Jehovah Elohim is there. The God of power and might can be with us in our darkness, just like he was there at the beginning in the middle of the world's darkness. So the God of power and might who's there at the very beginning is still there. That's who came to earth at Christmas. The God of power and might, Jehovah Elohim. Not the God of nearly enough, but the God of more than enough. Not the God of, well, I might manage it, but the God of, I can do more than anything you ask or think or imagine. Not the God of, if you've been good enough, maybe this will happen, but the God of, the sacrifice of my son was good enough, so absolutely I can make this happen. He's the God of all of these things. His sacrifice of his son covers all of our sins. His birth filled Christmas with his power, filled it with power. If we want Christmas to be mighty, we need to believe mightily. We need to believe that there's a potential for the God of power and might to work in our darkness, in our dark place where we've got no hope and the things that just overwhelm us. God is in the middle of situations that overwhelm us. We need it to. So if we want Christmas to be mighty, we need to start believing mightily. Stop believing the negative things that go round and round in our heads, saying God's forgotten us or he's not going to do something for us. Stop believing things that are powerless. Don't be powerless this Christmas, but be full of power and might in this season. If we want our lives to be mighty, we need to speak mightily. So stop speaking doom and gloom and start speaking the word. Not just any words, but the word. He's left us with the word that we can speak over our circumstances to change them. The same word that created at the beginning is with us right now. In power and might, it's up to us. No one can come along and open my mouth and say, Sandra, you must speak these words. I can't open your mouth and say, you must speak these words. But it's only between you and God, but we need to make a decision of what words are going to come out of our mouth. When I was preparing this, I had a picture of someone hanging up their Christmas stocking, you know, on the fireplace. Nice red and gold thing hanging up on the fireplace. And this stocking was full to overflowing. And this person was taking little bits of paper, folding them and pushing them in the stocking, folding another one and pushing it in the stocking. And this stocking was jam-packed full of these little bits of paper and overflowing at the top. And so I said to God, what is it? What is it they're stuffing the stocking with? What are they writing on the bits of paper and stuffing it in? And I felt God showed me and he said, they're stuffing it with their wishes. The stocking is full of wishes like, God, please do this for me. God, please do that. God, I'm begging you. All the things they're begging God for. I really, really, really need you to do this. But not at any point were they using the word that God had given them to bring these things to pass. They were just stuffing the stocking with their wishes. That's not powerful. This person has no power and they have no hope for the season. They've got no hope in it. Because they've got their begging bowl out and they're begging God to do something. Turning wishes into a reality requires hope. I'm not saying that the things that they were asking God for were wrong things. They might be perfectly good things, but they were going about it the wrong way, begging and wishing, instead of speaking the word over the situation to see the situation change. We need to have hope. Turning wishes into reality requires hope. It requires us to say, I believe God is doing this. Not I beg you to do it, but I believe God is going to do this for me. It releases the word and it releases the spirit. All of the things that God gave us at creation, the word and the spirit, it releases them to hover over our situation. We need to put hope in you, on your Christmas list this year. Turn to someone and say, I'm putting hope on my Christmas list. Put hope on your Christmas list and watch God's power and might explode in our lives. Because we can't see the things that the wishes and the dreams that we have come to pass without speaking the word over them. Otherwise, they'll just remain a wish and a dream till the day we die. But if we speak the word and we release the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit over it, maybe the circumstances will change. Every time we entertain the thought that God won't do it, we have laid down our hope. I'm just going to repeat that to make sure everyone heard it. Every time we entertain the thought, God will not do this for me, we have laid down our hope. And without hope, you are hopeless. We need to pick it up and don't hand it over. Hold on to our hope and speak hope until it begins to rise on the inside, and then we will see hope. This was years and years ago. This happened to me years ago. We were at this conference thing for a weekend, and Neil was running it. I wasn't. I was just there on the sidelines. But there was a time in this conference where everyone had to get together and you had to pray in little prayer groups and everything. I was put in this prayer group where basically didn't want me. They didn't want anything I had in my life. They said, don't pray in tongues, Sandra. And they didn't want me to pray for anything. And that was the attitude of these people towards me throughout the whole of that weekend. By the end of the weekend, I had kind of been pushed down and down and down and down. I was pretty low. So one of the meetings, I decided I wasn't even going to go. I just stayed in my room, had a wee tear time with God. And God gave me a vision that I've never, ever forgotten, and I never will forget. And it was instantly, when God gives something, you just know what it is. So I'm just standing, and I was thinking all these negative thoughts about all these people. They didn't want me, and they certainly didn't want what I was carrying in God. And I looked down in this vision, and there was a black shadow all around my feet. And as soon as the thought entered my head, what's that? I knew instantly what it was. I knew it was a cloak that had fallen off my shoulders. A black cloak had fallen off my shoulders and was lying down at my feet. And then I asked God the question. And again, as soon as I asked the question, I knew exactly what it was. And he said, Sandra, that is your anointing. You've laid it down. Pick it up, put it on, and never lay it down again. Never lay down the power of God in your life. Never lay down what the Holy Spirit has called you to do. Don't listen to the negative report of someone else who's stuffing their Christmas stocking with hopelessness. Stand on the word of God and speak it out over your life, because it is mighty and it is powerful for this season. In all of our lives, speak over your loved ones, speak health and strength. Regardless of their age, we are not going to accept infirmity, regardless of how old they are, regardless of what the doctors have said, because my God is mighty and he wants to heal every single one of us. So we need to stand in the power of God, and we need to pick up the calling of God, and we need to decide that God's got a future for me, and it is a good one, and the sun is going to rise on it, and it's going to be glorious. And we are not going to take any of the negatives ever again. Here is a fact. There are more suicides in the Christmas and New Year period than at any other time of the year. Why? Because people aren't merry, and things haven't worked out the way they've planned, and they have no hope. They have no hope. And so they decide they've had enough. Folks, we have got the light of the world in us. We have hope. We just need to let it rise. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 says this, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything. This is the God we serve, and nothing is too hard for him. This Christmas or at any other time of the year, he is the God of all flesh. That is us. You and me, we're made of flesh. He's God of our flesh. He's God of our dreams. He's God of our desires. He is God of our hope. Don't accept something just because the doctors say you have to accept it. Just because they've not found a cure for it, God's already found a cure. Just because they've not sussed it out yet. So if you get nothing else this year for Christmas, get hope, because hope is powerful. I want to look again at the words from the New Testament that we read out, just the first few words. It's John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. So we've looked at in the beginning was God. Here's "In the beginning was the Word," with a capital W. It was the mighty, powerful Word of God. It was there at the beginning, and it is still with God's Word today. It is still full of power and might and hope. But we are the only ones that can speak it over our lives. Romans 8:11 says this: "The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you today." He lives in us today. It raised Jesus from the dead, and it's in us. It can resurrect that sore knee. It can resurrect that those lungs that are filled with congestion right now. Whatever it is we're praying for. So what are we doing with it? What are we doing with this resurrection power that is in our belly on the inside of us? Are we believing it? Are we speaking it? So here's a newsflash. God's here this Christmas, and He hasn't forgotten us, but we must keep believing, and we must keep speaking and keep hoping and never give up. Never give up. Do you know, not believing in Santa will mean you get no presents. Not believing in God means you have no hope. It has far, far wider reaching consequences. God said, nothing is too hard for Him. So we can put our hope in that, if nothing else. This is John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word, Christ, became flesh and lived among us. And we actually saw His glory. Glory as belongs to the only begotten Son of the Father." Wow. The world saw God in the flesh. They saw Jesus with their own eyes. So what did they do with Him? They rejected Him. They crucified Him. John 1 verse 10 says this: "He, Christ, was in the world, but though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him." Verse 12: "But to as many as did receive and welcome Him, He gave the right to become children of God." So the world rejected Christ. They rejected everything about Him. They rejected His love. They rejected His power. And they rejected His hope. Folks, when we reject God, we also reject hope. When we reject God, we reject hope. But what happens if we accept Him? If we accept God, we become children of God. And we can hope again. So stop saying it's hopeless. Anyone said that this week? Anyone said that this year? It's hopeless. Stop saying it's hopeless. We can't speak negatives and expect to see positives come to pass. Start speaking words of hope and let hope rise, because hope is powerful. I want to finish with a prophetic word for maybe all of us here, and it's this: know the season that you are in. Know the season you're in and rest in it. You won't be there forever. So if you're in a waiting season, wait well, or frustration will overwhelm you. If you're in a planting season, plant faithfully, or you will grow weary. If you're in a healing season, let Him hand God all of the pain and let Him heal you. Trust Him to heal you. Open your life up, like that vision we had today of the cracked egg. Open it up. So much more you can do with an egg once it's cracked open. Open yourself up and trust God to heal you. If you're feeling hopeless, then speak hope, because only then can the hope rise up. We must believe God's got something good for us this season and grab a hold of it with both hands and let hope rise again. We must have hope for our own lives. No one else can do it for us. I could speak till the cows come home tonight, till you're all going, come on, Sandra, it's tea time, it's time to finish up. I cannot make you hope. Everyone's got to decide it for themselves. Believe the Word, the capital W, Word of God, the power and might of God. Speak the Word. Put hope in the Word, because Jehovah Elohim is here right now in all of His power and might. And we can have hope in Him this Christmas season. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.